This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Mr. Klopp, welcome to studio.
Thanks, Lucinda. Thanks a lot.
Are you good?
I am.
Fresh.
Yeah, morning ready.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the discussion. Namhlanje, we're talking about sport and how can sport unite people in South Africa?
Lucinda, we need to remember that this is a sport. Sport is one of the things that are easily accessible to everyone. But it is not the only thing. Sport is something that appeals to all of us.
Yeah.
It does have limitations, but it's not as other areas of our lives, like politics, economy. It's very easy to, I don't know how many times I've had people who are strangers, just out of the blue, they're talking to each other because somebody is wearing a particular shirt
of a particular
team. Let me give you an example. This is what happened to me at Old Durban Airport.
Mm.
I bumped into a gentleman that everyone knows. His name is Joel Stransky.
Okay.
Then we started talking, and I asked him. I said, Joel, how many? Do you still remember how you scored that goal in 1995? It was June 24 when South Africa beat the New Zealand, the All Blacks. And he says he doesn't remember.
He doesn't.
No, he said he doesn't.
But he's got the goal.
He scored the goal. Yes.
Lilian Zumlando, for sure, but he doesn't remember
Out of the blue, Joel and I started talking.
Yeah.
And again, in Oar Tambo, I bumped into other rugby players, Dion Kayser and Boot James.
Mm.
So you're flying from Joburg to Durban.
Mm.
And you started talking about sport.
Just like that.
Yeah. Well, I know these guys from TV, but they've never seen me.
Yes.
But all the way from Joburg to Durban, we were busy talking sport.
Mm.
And in another incident of somebody who did not know what impact he had upon people, I spoke to Aisin Soleng. Aisin Soleng is Kaizer Chiefs, perhaps the greatest player in South Africa has ever produced. I spoke to him about the goal that he scored. He said he didn't remember anything.
But you...
What happens is that soccer is not very it's not very familiar. It's not very known for being a sporting code that focuses on statistics.
Yeah.
The only thing that they know is how many goals somebody scored.
But the goal scorers don't remember.
No, in most cases they don't. I realize that they don't remember
such magical moments, such memorable moments.
Unless that particular goal had a negative impact upon them. Like, for instance, Roberto Baggio would remember that he missed the penalty on the 17th of July 1994. That is when they lost to Brazil, and he said that every day he missed the penalty until 1998, when he kicked when he was able to score a penalty.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's what happens. But I need to explain what social cohesion is.
Yeah.
Social cohesion is when people, for very good reasons, come together and they become united and they start respecting each other. They start understanding each other's cultures.
Yeah.
They start looking at each other as normal human beings. And remember that is a far cry from what we had in apartheid. Apartheid government was feeding us with negative information that people should look at each other in terms of their color. And the people were stacked. There was somebody that was better than another person. That was somebody who was above another person. All of that nonsense.
Mm.
That was apartheid. So what Madiba did then, he looked at that because he was aware of that. He looked at that and said, okay, there is politics where there were negotiations that were going on from 1990, when he had been released, until we had April 24. But he also looked at sport and said, here is a quick way to unite South Africa.
Mm.
There were no hard negotiations about whether he was going to go to Ellis Park, all right, in 1995, or... No, he just rocked up and he's wearing jersey number 6, Franca Pienaar's jersey.
Mm.
Franca Pienaar was South Africa's captain. And he knew that his impact was going to be immediate. People were going to say, here is a black president. the first democratically elected president coming down to say, people only remember that, oh no, he was there when the team had won. No, it was not only that. Mm. Just before that, he went to see the team and said, guys, you are going to do it for all of us. That was very important.
Yeah.
At the dressing room. I said, guys, please go and do it all the and do it for all of us. And he knew that there was only one black player who was there, but he knew that it was going to take time for it still hasn't happened even now. It's going to take time for all the South African teams to have all our broad categories of South Africans being represented in sport. So it sometimes you have to track back and say, for us to win, we are not going to just have players who are not ready. Mm. We need to field players that are ready. You saw the Springbok yesterday. The black players that were there are ready.
Mm. They are.
They are ready. So you can't just for the sake of color and say you are going to have people playing. They are going to get injured. We're going to lose, and we're going to be embarrassed. And people are going to say, "Oh, look at them."
Mm.
So we don't want to hear that. So Mandela was aware of that. So when he went there, he said, no, these are my children, everybody, black or white or colored, everyone. He said, no, guys, please go and do it for all of us.
Mm.
So they were aware, because he knew that he was going to have that impact upon them. So when they crossed that line, they knew that they were going to play for the 43 million South Africans,
mm.
plus Madiba. So that is how he used sport. That was 1995. And then in 1996, he did the same thing. With Bafana Bafana, remember that was the AFCON year, Africa Cup of Nations.
Yes.
So he went there to see the team, and when the team had won, he was wearing jersey number 9. That was Captain Neil Tovey's jersey.
Mm.
So again, he played the same card.
Yes.
Saying that it doesn't matter what color this man is, as long as he qualifies to lead the team. Neil Tovey is white. François Pienaar is white. He said, no, he's not going to focus on that. He's going to focus on South Africans coming together.
Mm.
So that is how he did it.
So how many years did it take? Is it 1 year? Is it 2 years?
Look, it depends on the level of preparedness for the whole country.
Yeah.
Are they prepared for change? It took South Africa a long time to change, but when it happened in a very big way, because it was well driven by somebody like Mandela.
Yeah.
And many others, of course. But Madiba, even the late Zulu King was involved. You'd see him in His Majesty, we see him on the stands.
Yeah.
He's there to support sport, not any particular color. They were there, Minister of Sport at the time, Steve Chwete was there.
Mm.
They are supporting sport, not any color.
Yes. So
they were talking about what was happening in sport politically, that there were not enough black players, but they were encouraging everybody to be involved.
Mm.
All right, remember that after 1994, South Africa switched the mode. There was no longer fighting, there were negotiations. So everything that was happening was negotiated.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is how it happened. So I was explaining social cohesion. So social cohesion is about respect, and it's also about unity.
Yes.
So what then happens under these conditions is that you look at sport and say, this is a quick way to unite people that are not united. And in some cases, even beyond South Africa, we were made aware of what was known as sports diplomacy.
Yeah.
When an American basketball player went to North Korea and he saw the North Korean leader and they talked about basketball.
Mm.
He was hoping that one way or the other, there would be diplomatic relations between North Korea and the United States. So Dennis Rodman, he was using sport to unite the two countries.
People.
So it was relatively easy in South Africa, because what happened over the years, particularly in 1994, it was made very clear by everybody, particularly the political leaders, that South Africans belong together. South Africans needed each other.
Yeah.
So you cannot afford to exclude other people. That is why it was very easy in 2010 for the Blue Bulls, who are Pretoria based, and who are, for the sake of clarity, I'm going to say that we are mostly white. But they descended upon Soweto, where they played rugby. In Soweto, at Orlando Stadium. It's a black place. It's a black stadium. It's a soccer stadium. Soccer is associated with black people. But yes, they were there. They were there. The whole of Soweto turned into blue. And everyone, not only the white supporters, everyone, even the black soccer players were there to support rugby at that time. So it became very, very easy.
Magical moments.
The problem, the biggest challenge is that there was no proper follow-up. Even now, there is no proper follow-up. That is why I decided that I'm going to strongly recommend that let's go back. Let's go back to the drawing table and say, what is it that we can do? Madiba is gone, but he has given us an assignment that we need to carry on. We need to do something about using sport to unify, to unite South Africans.
So how can we do this, or how are we supposed to keep this continuing, you know, in terms of uniting people? Because you did talk about soccer as well, Ugutige. Yep. They all went there to support rugby.
Yes.
So how can we keep this momentum going on?
That's a very good question. What we do, what we need to know is we need to have influential places.
Yes.
Like in politics, we need to have people with the soft touch. The soft touch is when people say, all right, what is it that we can do as South Africans with taking away the political sting?
Yeah.
Remember, politics is very rough.
Yes.
So, but this time, like Madiba, we need somebody with a soft touch and say, what is it that we can do using sport to unite people? This is what I'm recommending, that at every level of South African life, you need to have those people with a soft touch. I give an example here of former white schools having partnerships with former black schools and sharing resources, sharing sport resources, even personnel. All right, if you think about cricket, there's not much cricket within the black communities. So yes, you'd find people with cricket knowledge in former white places and white schools. So why can't you have those people coming together and sharing that information, all right? And teaching that black child how to play cricket, all right?
You know?
And also reaffirming to that white child that you are safe, all right? You can play soccer like any other
person. Like anyone else.
And tell that black child what it is like to play rugby, all right? And you tell that white child what it is like to be in a black community playing soccer like any other kid.
And feeling safe while doing that as well, you know. Yes. No one is going to attack you, anything like that.
This is how they do it in other places. You, as parents, as families, you support that kid. So let that kid not go to a black place all by themselves, not because it is not safe. Because everywhere, if you're a child, you need your family support.
Yes.
Not because the black place is not safe. All right. In some, there's no place that is safe in South Africa. That is a fact.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. We know that we are not children. We're not going to kid ourselves.
Yeah.
But what needs to happen is that all families must support the children that are involved in sport, and schools at a school level, they must come together and say, what is it that we can do to improve the level of sport. And they need to be realistic. What are the sporting codes that are available? There is soccer, if there is soccer. There is cricket, if there is cricket. There is rugby, etc. They need to be able to have a program that they are going to use to share their resources.
Because I've noticed that there are sports that we as black people, we don't want to go in depth in. Like there's golf. You'll hardly see umuntu omnyama mhlambe a phone na ukudlala golf, like khona labo nalabo nalabo, and cricket as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking ukuthi we should blend, we should be able ukuthi umuntu omnyama naye akwazi ukudlala a certain sport kanjalo kanjalo kanjalo. And also in schools, in the townships, they should also introduce sports like cricket, because you come here maybe elokshini, you wouldn't find a school and a sport a cricket, you know, as a sport khona.
Remember what I just said something. I said you need to have those people with a soft touch.
Yes.
So that person with a soft touch, they don't only have to have a soft touch, they must also be able to say, all right, what is it that I need to do to help, to grow confidence within that black kid to start looking at cricket as something that they also can play?
Yeah.
All right. Remember, we still have crickets being associated with white people.
Yes.
And soccer associated with black people mainly, and rugby, etc. You need to break down those barriers and say, what is it that we can do then to have all the kids getting interested in all the sporting courts? And also indicate to the kid that we are not worried about whether you have talent or not at a very early age. So what you do is you put all the sporting codes in front of the kid, and then when they are 12 to 15, that is when they can decide, so I am good in soccer, I am good in rugby. When they're young, give them all the support and say, all right, today we're going to play cricket, today we're going to play rugby, today we're going to play hockey, etc. When they are young, don't force them to choose.
Yes.
Because at that time, it's very difficult for you to say, Mark is good in soccer.
Yes.
He might as well be good in soccer, and he might be as well be good in cricket. He might as well be
In volleyball.
In swimming. Yeah. All of those five at that time. I'll give you an example of a player who was good in at least 12 sporting codes. Herschel Gibbs. Because
in 12?
12, yes. He was good in soccer. Mm. Was left-footed.
Yo.
Right? But when he bats, it's also good in cricket. Mm. He used to bat with his right, but he used to kick with his left. He was good in swimming.
Mm.
He was good in rugby.
Mm.
He was good in athletics.
Mm.
Right.
Yes.
In possibly every sport that you can think of.
I was also like that though in primary school.
Yeah,
I was also like that because I used to do netball, swimming, athletics. I used to come number one or number two when it comes to athletics. It's long distance, short distance. Yeah. Yeah. I used to do long jump as well, high jump. Short put. No, not short put. But yeah. I used to do so many sports because. In June, there's netball, your soccer, and so forth. And then in summer, there's swimming. So I used to swap like that, you know. So I used to do quite a lot of things. And when I grew up, then I started knowing or identifying what am I really, really interested in. But my parents, while I was still young, they used to make me do everything.
That is what I'm saying, that for those people that I'm recommending, that they need to show up, you need to have those people, even if they are politicians, you need to have a soft charge, all right, and also be aware of where South Africa is coming from. Madiba was not a fool. He was not a kid. He knew exactly where South Africa was coming from, and he knew exactly what needed to be done. And he had people that were supporting him, all right? Those people were black. Those people were colors. Those people were Indians. Those people were white. That is why he was comfortable working with everyone.
Mm.
And his minister of sport at that time was a gentleman called Steve Chote. Steve Chote, who passed away some years ago. And there were people around that were supporting him. They accepted the fact that he had had a very dictatorial attitude only when it was required. That is why he was taken as a father figure that could dictate. Do you know that he was the only person that used to call the Queen of England with her name, Elizabeth? And at some point, the Queen complained and said, "Why are you calling me by my name?" And he said, "Why are you calling me Nelson?"
Oh.
All right?
Yeah.
Because he was a father figure. He was old. He was respected.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he also respected people.
Mm.
So if we have these people with soft touch, they need to have, they need to understand those dynamics. That if you are going to use sport to achieve unity in South Africa, what is it that you need to do? What kind of attitude that you need to have?
Mm.
How much knowledge do you have to have?
Mm.
How are you going to interact with the parents? How are you going to interact with the kids? How are you going to interact with school leaders, like a principal? If you come to Kingsway High School, for instance, and you say, "Can we have a partnership between Kingsway High School and Gwamakuta High School?"
Mm.
How are they going to react, and how are you going to handle that reaction?
Mm.
All right, and also you would like to have these schools sharing resources.
Yes,
Kingsway High School has got better resources. I know that.
Mm.
I've been there. They've got better resources than Gwamakuta High School.
Mm.
So how are you going to reconcile that then? How are you going to make the principal of Kingsway feel that they are safe? All right.
Mm.
In the first place, you appeal to them and say you have a responsibility to help those kids that don't have anything.
Yeah.
All right. I can guarantee your safety. All right. And you have a responsibility to nurture those kids so that they grow within an environment that is safe and loving environment where they are going to freely play sport. And you're also going to appeal to the parent and say, nothing is going to go wrong. All I need is your support, so that the children are going to go together. They are going to grow together, knowing very well that the resources that we have belong to all of us. They don't belong to particular individuals or particular schools. But there's got to be control as to how the resources are going to be accessed and how they are going to be used.
Mm.
So there's got to be a proper plan as to how we are going to do this to achieve the social cohesion.
So, Namhlanje, as we spoke, speaking about sport, you know, I'm remembering something that was trending last week. So there was a video, Mr. Hlophe, I don't know if you saw it on social media. It was an uncle, Babeti Malume, on the video. I think it was a swimming gala at school. So I think it was time for parents to swim as well, to compete with each other, you know.
Yeah.
And the kids were screaming, Malume, Malume, Malume. And Malume couldn't even swim. Mm. Like, Kotanje ubez ham, you know, air pambili. And it was trending. People were using that picture as memes, you know, making jokes about it. Then someone came on social media and said, you know what people do, like parents do for their children, or for their nephews or for their nieces, Wuti, they give them support. Because Lua Malume couldn't swim. Like, he couldn't swim.
Mm.
But he was like, because I want Wuti Abashana Bami, bebe proud nabo, because I'm here. Maybe the father wasn't around or the mother wasn't around, but he was there as uncle.
Mm.
So he went to support those kids.
Mm.
And knowing very well that he can't even swim, he tried, because there were other parents and they were very good. He was still trying to swim. But because why understand it, you need to support kids in sport as well, because sport unites people. He was like, I'm going to do it for these kids.
But you need to be very careful under those circumstances. You need to play the role that you're supposed to play, the role that you can play.
That you can play.
Yeah. Madiba did not kick the ball.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't.
He couldn't.
He was too old. So he did what he could play, what he could do.
I get you.
So for that uncle, I don't think that it was necessary for him to swim.
To swim.
Yeah, he could have played another role to support the kids.
The kids.
Yeah, remember that he was endangering himself by swimming.
Yeah.
And also, if you're an adult, you must always be careful that you don't give people a chance to undermine you.
Yeah.
All right. So what you need to do is think about what you need to do without losing your dignity.
I get you.
All right. This is exactly what Madiba did. If you can Google him, you still see him wearing jersey number 6, wearing jersey number 9, Neil Tovey.
Mm.
He did his role as a father figure, as a newly elected president of the country. The whole world was looking at him.
Mm.
So he could not afford to fumble.
Yes.
So the same thing is true here, that as parents and as people with soft touches, when you play that role, take it seriously and don't compromise yourselves because you think that it's sport. Sport is something that is serious.
Yes.
That is why if you go to Europe, you go everywhere, sport is taken very, very seriously. Mm. I would strongly suggest that people play the roles that are going to be much more meaningful, that are going to have a much bigger impact, especially with the focus on the children.
Mm.
So how are children going to look at you tomorrow? Are they going to look at that at you at that uncle as that uncle who failed?
Yes.
No, the child has got to look at you as that uncle who supported me. And that as that uncle who gave me a chance.
Yes.
And the white car, the white kid must look at that that gentleman from Gwamakuta, from Umlazi, who said his son or his daughter is my friend. We can work together.
Yeah.
So Give yourself a chance where people are going to remember you in a positive way, in a manner that is going to have a positive impact upon them.
Mm. So as we about to wrap up the interview, what would you like to say to our listeners today as we're celebrating Nelson Mandela Day, of course, and we're also looking at the perspective from E-Angle, your sport. What are your last words to our listeners today?
That's a very, very good question. My last words are that we all have responsibilities.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Don't tell the kid that they have a responsibility if they are still too young. Show them.
Yes.
Hold their hand and say, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And this is the reason why I want you to do this. But if you are an adult, you must know what your role is. And also we must think about what it is that we can do. There's a lot of things that are negative where we waste time. We go and drink. All
yes.
Right? And we waste a lot of money. We need to stop doing that.
Mm.
And we need to create bridges between each other, across racial lines, across cultural lines, and say, what is it that we can do together? Remember that as adults, we have a responsibility to look after the young kids. Mm. And we have a responsibility to prepare this world for them to enjoy when we are gone.
Mm.
So what is it that we need to do then? Can you imagine if a guy like Hendrik Verwoerd, who said a black South African is good enough to be a worker?
Mm.
All right. So that information is embedded upon other white folks, but his own grandson, who I think he's a card-carrying member of a black organization that I'm not going to say. He said, no, I don't associate with what my grandfather told me.
Mm.
So don't be that grandfather who's pumping negative information upon your kid.
Mm.
So when you are gone, your kid is continues to be a victim of what you taught them.
Mm.
We need to be careful about what we tell our children so
yes.
that even when we are gone, they are going to enjoy living in a world where I'm going to quote somebody, an Egyptian president, Anwar Sadat. He said, we need to create a world where there will be no mother crying for a dying son. So in South Africa, we need to create a world where there will be no kid that is waking up without food, without friends, with anything, without anything.
Mm.
It is our duty to sort out this mess before we go.
Hmm. Thank you, Mr. Mangakhulu, Mr. Bekihlophe. I think I did learn a lot today that I didn't. And also, I like the fact that you said you must do what you can do.
Yes.
Never compromise or never do something as against what's going to be embarrassment at Gcinini just for the sake of making the other person happy.
Yeah. Don't make yourself a laughing stock.
Yeah.
Don't make yourself a laughing stock. Do
what you can.
Yeah, do what you can. And that's why I keep going back to Madiba.
Mm.
He never embarrassed himself. He never kicked the ball.
Mm.
All right? As much as you saw George Bush in the United States throwing the ball, the baseball, or Diana Ross kicking the penalty in 1994 on June 16 when they're opening the World Cup,
he
didn't do that. He didn't embarrass himself. Mm. He did what he could do.
He could.
Yes.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.